darkness of this age. That's who we wrestle against. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, so the Lord's telling us, this is what you're up against. This is who you're up against. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, here again, stand therefore. How? Having girded your waist with truth. So it's as if you put truth when as you're getting dressed. Truth. What is the truth? The truth is you're a son or daughter of the living God. The truth is you have the greater one inside of you. The truth is, as a believer, you have authority. The truth is authority means you can take control, you can take command. Right? You don't have to be ruled. You don't have to be run over by the forces of darkness. That's the truth. That's when you you gird your waist with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, covers your chest, where the enemy comes with fiery darts to come into your heart, to come into your being, speaking lies to you. Remember, he is a liar. He comes to kill and destroy. He is a liar. So he will come at you through your own thought processes, through things other people say to you, with things that are completely contrary to what the Lord is telling you. He may say to you, oh, look, you screwed up again, you messed up again. See, you're never going to get anywhere. He may say to you, they don't really love you. They're just using you. They may say, those thoughts may say, you think you're going to live healthy, but look how you're feeling. You're going to get a bad report from that test. Things of that sort. Things of that sort that are a complete contradiction to the Word of God that says, you're precious in my sight. You're valuable. You're loved. You're accepted. You're acceptable. You know, I am your healer. I want you to be whole. That's what the Lord says. When you hear things that are that in your own mind, in the tapes that your mind plays, and we all have thoughts running through our mind as we're driving to work, as we're in the shower, as we're trying to go to sleep at night, you know, and if they are in complete contradiction to what you know to be truth, that's why it's so important to know the Word of God, so we know what's truth and what isn't truth, you know, then you know that the enemy is trying to use your thoughts. The enemy loves to use our minds as his playground. Loves to play in your mind, you know, bringing forth negative thoughts, bringing forth thoughts of intimidation and fear. When they come, you need to shut it down. Don't play with them. Don't give it. Playing with him is like giving a thought, rehearsing it, thinking about it some more. Well, yeah, well, that. And it's always very logical. It isn't like it comes and you'd say, oh, that would never happen. There's always that, remember, there. It's that subtlety, it's the wiles of the devil. Very logical, you know, could happen in the world, kind of possible. So it's not that clear that, well, this is ridiculous, you know. It's not that simple. But the more you get built up in the Word, and you get built up mostly in who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be easier for you to say, that's not coming from the Lord. That's not the Lord's heart for me. That's not the Lord's mind for me. And so we put on that righteousness so that those fiery darts, you can see it, it's like he's throwing darts into your spirit, throwing darts into your heart, so that you're protected. And I image it as if, you know, you have that armor on and the dart comes, but this plate is so strong that that dart just goes right back and gets the enemy, right where the sun don't shine. So that's how I picture it. You know, I have my breastplate on. Okay, take the shield of faith. Do whatever works for you. Take the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is believing those things that have not yet been seen. Right? That's what faith is. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Not having heard it. Not hearing it, you know, through the liturgy of the word on Sunday or weekday mass. It's hearing and hearing. Making that word part of you. Have that word in you. Just like the words of people you work with and just like the words of people you live with. You know their words. You talk to them a lot. You hear what they're saying. Hear what God's saying to you. Hear what the Lord's saying to you. You know, take your tapes when you're in the car. Put those tapes on that are bringing forth good, solid teaching and bringing the Word of God to you, you know, and be filling your spirit up with that. You know, don't be listening to the news driving to work. Be listening to the good news, you know, of the Word of God. So you go into your environment. You go into your situation. You're built up. You know, you've got your armor on. You know who you are. And you've got the truth around your waist. And you're thinking the truth. And you're meditating on the truth. You hold up that shield of faith. Okay, I'm not seeing it yet, but I know it's going to happen. I'm not seeing it yet, but the Lord promises, and I know His promises are true. He doesn't break His promises. He's not like people in the world, you know. And we are His children, and we can say, Daddy, you promised. How many times have your kids said to you, Daddy, you promised. Mommy, you promised. And when your kids said that to you, you know, what did you do? You went right and did whatever it was. You said, oh my goodness, I did. And right away, you do what you promised. Right? Amen?
Amen?
I hope so. If not, start doing it. Okay, you do what you promise. And that's how it is with the Lord. You know, when we say to Him, He's our Father. You know, He's not. If you have an image of a father that you can't approach, that's up on this big throne with a long white beard and a long white gown, that's looking down at you, you need to change that image. That's not who He is. He's our Daddy. You know, He wants you to come up and sit on His lap no matter how old you are. You know, no matter how old our kids are. You know, we still see them, don't we? As that little guy or girl that jumps up on your lap. And we would still love to do that, wouldn't we? Now, I know times change and they may not like that. But we still have that in our hearts that to us, you know, they're still that vulnerable child that we want to hold and cuddle and caress, that we want to hold to our chest, that we want to rock, and that we want to make everything right for. Well, get in touch with that part of you and know that that's how the Father feels about you. That's what He wants to do for you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how big you are. That's what He wants for you because He still sees you, you know, that way. He knows your vulnerabilities. You know, He knows your needs. He knows the things that you're ashamed of. He knows the things you try to hide. And He wants you to know that He loves you in the midst of it all. And He wants to hold you close and tell you that. So that's your Father. That's your Daddy. You know, that's the one who gives you the authority and who gave you Jesus for salvation and who gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, who gives us power to live with Jesus in the center of our life. Amen?
Amen.
So we hold up that shield of faith. And that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. When the fiery darts come at you, you hold up that shield of faith. Now, how do you do that, naturally speaking? You hold up the shield of faith by when those thoughts come at you or when those statements come at you, you know. You hold up the shield of faith by holding up the Word of God and by saying, that's not true. That's not true. Just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. So often, we give people, we talk about authority, we talk about control. So often, we relegate all this authority. That part of us never grows up. You know, I have my little pre-Kers, and they'll say, but she said it. Like the other day, I said, 3 years old, and sometimes there are little gender crises. They don't know, you know, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. I say, okay, if you're a boy, we're learning this song. Boys sing one part, girls sing the other. And sometimes they get confused at 3 years old. So I always say, if you're a boy, raise your hand. So I say, okay, boys, this is what we're going to do. You're a girl. Okay. So this one little boy, this girl said to him, you're not a boy. And he said, I am a boy. And she said, no, you're not. Real strong, aggressive little girl. You'll be a leader. No, you're not. You're not a boy. And he says, I guess I'm not a boy. And then all of a sudden I see him cry. He starts to cry. I see little tears. I say, Jacob, what's the matter? She said, I'm not a boy. And I said, well, are you a boy? Yes, I am. My mommy says I'm a boy. My daddy says I'm a boy. I said, well, I say you're a boy too. But she said it. She said, I'm not a boy. Now, see what he was doing? You know, see what he was believing. He was giving up all of his beliefs because this little child, this other little girl, because she was so strong about it and so adamant about it. You're not a boy. That he was starting to doubt. Now, you say, okay, and we dealt with that and everything's fine and he knows who he is. So, however, I share that just, you know, and she knows she needs to, yeah, we talk to her too. They are something. But anyway, we do that. How often do we do that? You know, because somebody says something. Because somebody says something to hurt you. Because somebody says something in a fit of temper. Oftentimes we live with people that say things like that. You know, oftentimes we're living in marriages that where there's cruelty and cruel words spoken. And so then you take that into your spirit and then you allow that to be like written on the slate of your life. And then you begin to believe it, just like Jacob believed. Always remember Jacob. Just like he was saying, well, she said it, so it must be true. I mean, she certainly, you know, is talking with a lot of oomph here and strength. So we need to know. We need to be careful of that, you know. Just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. So when you hold up that shield of faith, you know, that saying that you're not going to let that enter. You're not going to let those fiery darts enter. You know, you're going to hold it up, and then that fiery dart's going to hit that shield, and boom, bounce right back to the enemy, right? Okay, we take on the helmet. We cover our head. That means we cover, you know, we're covering our mind. We're not going to let our mind be formed by darkness, by the darkness in the world, by the enemy, by Satan, by the evil spirits. We put on the helmet of salvation. Now, oftentimes we think about salvation, and salvation meaning I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. And it does mean that. It does mean that. And we need to know that. We need to know, you know, when I'm finished, when the Lord is finished with me, I should say, in this world, when I'm satisfied, because he says, with long life I will satisfy you. So when you're satisfied and you're ready to go, and you can tell that's how I believe, and so I intend to be around for a long time, because I'm not satisfied. But anyway, with long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation, right? Okay, so that means that we're saved, we're going to be with him for all eternity, but salvation is to begin here and now. Salvation is not just meant for when we die and go to heaven, meaning we're supposed to live in that here and now. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now, not just in heaven. It's here and it's now. So that means when we are saved, when we receive Jesus into our heart, when we are saved by him, by his name, by his blood, through the cross, that our life should change now. Those areas that need to be saved within our life should change now. Now. Life should be getting better. Better for the Christian. Life should be getting more joy-filled. Life should be getting you know, happier. Life should be getting where you're feeling a sense of well-being, you know, as we expand those borders and all that we talked about yesterday. Okay, so we put on that helmet of salvation. We take the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. So we fight the enemy. We fight with our sword. That's the word of God, you know. Something negative comes to you, you're going to get a bad report from that mammogram. You're going to get a bad report from that MRI, and you hold up that sword, which is the word of God, you know, and you say, my God is the God who heals me, delivers me from all my destructions. That's what you do. And you walk in confidence with that, and you walk believing that. And when that spirit of fear comes at you, you tape over it, tape over it. It's a tape that plays in our head. Tape over it with the word of God till it gets to the point where you can't hear the negative any longer. Okay, and then we pray always. With all supplication in the spirit, so in spirit and in truth we pray. If you don't know how to pray, again, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying through the gift of tongues is a wonderful way, you know, to pray. Whatever your way, you know, of praying that is good for you and connects you with the Lord, that's what you need to do. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance, that means you persevere. Persevere means you keep at it. Persevere means you don't stop just because it doesn't change, just like that. You persevere. You keep at it. You keep doing it. Okay. So you persevere with supplication for all the saints. Now, what that's saying is we need to intercede for one another. when you look at the whole idea of the armor of God, everything's covered, you know, from our head to our chest, around our waist, our feet, the gospel of peace on our feet, but our back is not covered. And oftentimes, enemies come at you from behind, don't they? We see that in the world. So, intercessory prayer is the prayer covering for your back, that no attack from the enemy will come at your back as you pray for one another, as you pray for the people in your families. You know, that covers their back. So in the morning, it doesn't take all that much time, you know. You, in your prayer time, you do this. You can do this in the shower. Lord, cover me, clothe me in your armor today. Clothe me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, you know, with the armor. Take this prayer that I'm praying for brothers and sisters in Christ or for people in my family as a prayer covering for their back. But no attack from the enemy can come to harm us in body, mind, or spirit. And then when those attacks come, you know what to do. You know, you say, I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on, you know, the belt of truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you say, Lord, thank you for your word that is truth. You know, thank you that I am righteous in your sight. You know, that I am saved, that you have washed me clean. In your own words, you know, you can do this. Until you have your own words to do it in, you know, read the scripture and ask the Lord to clothe you this way. You know, remember, you know, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. The Lord says, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. So that means we know there's an enemy, but we know that the Lord provides everything we need to deal with that enemy. But it's up to us to do it. It's up to us to do it. He's not going to force you to do it. So, you know, we make a choice. We either do it or we don't do it. You know, don't wait until you're in the midst of the battle to do it. It's hard to get your armor on and your gear on when the battle's raging. You know, the soldiers that we sent over to Afghanistan and so forth, they went in with their gear on. They didn't wait until, you know, things started happening and then say, oops, we need to get dressed for this now. You do it, you know, it's very difficult to do it then. You do it, you know, each morning. You know, it's just part of your prayer, it's part of your time of coming before the Lord. And you'll find that you'll see yourself overcoming in many areas where now, you know, you feel defeated and you feel down. Now, I just want to share briefly with you just some of the devil's D's. And the devil's D's are the way that the devil comes at you. And I'm going to have a copy of this. I think this is good for us. So I always keep this in my Bible. So I'll have a copy of this for all of you before you leave, so you don't need to worry about writing it down. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. So if you resist him, he's going to flee. Resisting the devil is what we just did. Talked about the armor, putting that armor on, that's resisting him. Resisting the devil is pushing him away. Resisting the devil is not just standing there and saying, oh, today's the day the devil's, boy, the devil's really after me today. Boy, I'm finding the devil behind every post. That's not resisting, you know. Somebody came into your house to rob you of things that are precious to you. You wouldn't just stand there, I hope, and just say, I really don't want you to take that. That's really special to me. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd say, get out of my house. You don't belong here. I'm calling 911. You would scream. You would call for help. You would do everything you could to remove this invader, this intruder, off of your turf and out of your house, right? So we need to do the same thing. When you know the devil's coming at you, you know, get mad and resist them. Resist them, you know. Justifying anger is good. Brings forth energy. Resist the devil, James says. And he will flee. Okay, how do we resist them? We detect his devices. And we did that today. We talked a lot about, you know, the way he comes at us. We disagree with the devil. No, that's not true. By using God's word. Remember, we talked about, we tape over. We use the word of God. We tape over, you know, the messages that he's sending. So we're disagreeing with him. No, that's not right. That's not true. Nope. I'm not buying that. We use the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. He says in Mark 16:17, in my name, Jesus says, in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name. In whose name? Jesus' name. Using Jesus' name is like the policeman, you know, holding up the sign with his uniform on. He has all this authority. We stop. He has on his car, he has the lights. We look behind, we see the lights blinking. We pull over, don't we? Because he has authority. We have authority because we're believers. We have authority when we use the name of Jesus. When we use the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I resist you. In Jesus' name, I resist these negative feelings. In Jesus' name, I resist these negative thoughts. We boldly quote the Word of God. The Word of God should be our testimony. In the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they overcome. Now, that's all of us. We're the they. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So that's what Jesus did for us on the cross, by his blood spilled out for us, and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. We all have a testimony. The word of God is our testimony. So we can boldly quote the word of God. You know, when we're coming under attack like that, that's what we need to do. That's what helps us detect the devices. Things that the devil throws at us are defeat. Words of defeat. In Romans 8, it says that we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. We're more than conquerors. We're more than winners. Yet the enemy would want to bring you messages of defeat, whether it be in your job, in relationships, health situations, no matter what it's in. He comes with defeat. Disease. Fear of disease brings, you know, brings disease, brings unrest within our body. Where the Lord says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all my diseases. The Lord doesn't bring diseases. The Lord heals them. He heals what we pick up through the imbalance in the environment. He heals those things that may be we may have a genetic disposition to. He heals those things. He is the healer. He is not the person that inflicts his children with diseases. Discouragement. Devil brings discouragement. But in Deuteronomy it says, do not fear and don't be discouraged. The Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged. He brings distress and stress into our beings. And in Romans 8 it says, what shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that wonderful? If God be for us, who can be against us? Disheartenment, you know, a depressed spirit. He brings about disappointment. And in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. Last night, remember that scripture I shared with you from Proverbs that says, hope delayed makes the heart sick. And scripturally, hope delayed is living in constant disappointment. Constant disappointment makes the heart sick. No. And we heard what the Lord said about that last night and how he touched and healed us. And in Romans 8, it's telling us, if God is for you, who can be against you? You know, don't live in constant disappointment. You know, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. If you don't have, if your desire hasn't come yet to you, know it's coming. Stand. Stand in the truth. Stand in faith. Remember that scripture? I think that, thought that was so beautiful when I read that last night. And you know, sometimes when you get a scripture that's meant to be used, a rhema word meant to be used in a particular time, it's like you never read it before. Now, I had heard of that, hope delayed makes the heart sick. But that second part, but when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. That really jumped off the page to me. I thought, wow, when the desire comes, what you're hoping for, when it comes, it's like a tree of life. And we all know that the tree of life scripturally is that tree that's planted in just the right place, that receives just the right amount of sunlight. It receives just the right amount of rain and moisture from the ground so that can bloom according to its fullest potential. You know, just be the most beautiful tree, the tree it was meant to be. Not getting too much water, not getting too much sun, but just right. And that's us. You know, that's what the Lord's saying to us. You know, when it comes, and it's going to come. You know, so we're not meant to live in discouragement. We're not meant to live in disappointment. The devil is dishonest. You know, he's a liar. So he'll bring all these dishonest and untruth to us. In 2 Corinthians, the word says we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So we're going to be right on board with what's true. We're going to be right on board with what the word of the Lord is saying to us. We're going to be honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord. Because who are we fooling? He knows anyway. I mean, so the thing is to be honest with him, be honest with ourselves, and know that whatever, the Lord can work it through for us. The Lord knows. He sees those things that are most hidden and dark within us. And his aim is to bring it all into the light where it can be touched and healed by his marvelous love. Amen? Now, I'm going to, as I said, I'll have for you after lunch this, the printout of the devil's deeds. And you keep that in your Bible, you know, and has the scriptures all associated with it. And I think that will be a help to you. So let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for that wonderful time of prayer and praise. We praise you, Lord, that you did call us into your throne room. We thank you, Lord, that you give us insights as to how we can detect the wiles of the enemy and how you protect us from them. We praise you for that, Jesus. Write those things on our heart. Keep us mindful of them. Help us not to just leave it in this moment in time, but to carry it with us into each and every waking moment, into each and every day. We praise you and we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And right now, Lord, according to your word, we speak your armor upon us from the very top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We thank you, Lord, that right now you are covering us with your shed blood, that no attack of the enemy can come in any way to harm us in body, mind, and spirit. And Lord, the prayer that we pray now, we ask that that be the prayer covering for our back, that you would take this prayer of intercession as we pray for one another and as we extend this prayer to those that we love and those in our family bloodline, that you would keep us safe and sound from the wiles of the enemy. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We know where two or more agree, it is granted, so we praise you that what we have asked has been given. And all the saints said, amen and amen. All right.